enjoyed that. Stay open to Ephesians 6. Brother Kenneth, did we talk about this? It's uncanny. My text is the next verse. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all that Brother Kenneth has brought already, reminding us there is a battle.
Absolutely.
I'm afraid we get so wrapped up in this world and kind of so focused on our own little world sometimes that we forget this battle is there. The fiery darts are coming. If the shield of faith is not up, they're going to hurt. Because they keep coming. So, after Paul speaks about the armor of God, Brother Kenneth stopped in verse 17. Let's pick up in verse 18. I just want one verse. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying. It's not necessarily mentioned as a piece of armor. Oh, but it's important. Because he didn't bring it up like it's something else to do. He just kind of continued. And this is the Spirit giving Paul what's necessary for us, not only as armor, but the way it is brought in as far as prayer is concerned. It's like the presence of mind that we're to have throughout all of this. Praying always. And I want two things I want to mention, first of all, about what Paul says about prayer here. Let me read the verse again. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. He says praying always. That tells us how often we ought to pray. Always. That's not the only place Paul mentioned that, is it? Pray without ceasing. Remember that one? Praying without ceasing. I used to have a real problem trying to understand how you could go about your job and the concentration that you have to give it and the attention that you have to give it and the energy that you have to pour into it, and yet how can we be praying without ceasing? But we can have a prayerful attitude, can't we? We can be thankful. We can have a praise about us. Maybe something that if we're hearing some good songs or some singing or whatever, maybe even preaching, you know, whatever the case might be, it's possible that that lifts our spirits while we're pouring our energy and our attention into other things. It's very helpful, isn't it, to have a good environment? We don't always have the opportunity to have a good environment, but when we can, we ought to do something about that to help our mind, because that is where the battle rages, is in our mind and in our heart. And in the Bible, the mind and heart is oftentimes spoken of as one thing, your mind and your heart, with all your heart, with all your mind. It's spiritually speaking, it's just connected. All right? So praying always. That means prayer is always appropriate. Now, what you're praying, sometimes you might be praying for individuals, sometimes you might be praying for a certain situation, whatever the case might be, prayer is always. And the reason I say that is because if you're pay attention as you're reading through the four accounts of the gospel, you'll find that Jesus spent a lot of time praying. The one who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners spent time in prayer. The one who's God manifest in the flesh spent time in prayer. To me, that's a powerful example for us to follow. Prayer is so needful. Because prayer is like plugging into your power source. Or another way to put it is the oxygen is to the body like prayer is to the soul. You know, when you're wearing that mask, sometimes the oxygen gets a little thin, doesn't it? You take it off, get some good air. Well, the same is true when we're not praying. Our soul needs more of what prayer gives to it. Power, energy, like oxygen to the body. We need it. Do you believe that? I'm glad to see a lot of nods and some amens. All right? We need prayer. We get weak. We get distracted when we're not plugged into the power source. We need it. All right, so praying always. All right, so first of all, the thing I want to notice about this is that prayer is always appropriate. Then he gives us an idea that there's a variety of ways that we go about praying. You know, when our kids were growing up, we had a Berenstain's Bears book. It said the Berenstain Bears get the gimmies. Some of you seen that one? The kids were asking, give me this and give me that, and they got too far into that. And you know, if our praying is not like it ought to, sometimes we can major on asking the Lord to give us some things instead of thinking about others and praying for the situation and spiritual health of others. So sometimes we get the gimmies in our prayers, but we need balance. And so there's a variety of ways that we can pray. And, you know, this is not a textbook thing. This is not a list, and this is not a sign 10% here, 20% here. No, no. The Spirit will lead you. When we're plugged into the power source, when the Spirit is leading us and helping us. So when we think about praying and how we approach praying, you know, it bothers me sometimes when some people have such a casual attitude about talking to the Lord. And I understand we can feel close to the Lord, and we and all, but at all times, I believe, and I'm just showing you how old-fashioned I am about this, but at all times, we should remember to reverence our God. He's God. Now, there's a sense in which Christ is our elder brother and our closest friend. But when we're talking to the Father, and we understand they're one in purpose and so forth, in essence. But when we're talking to our Father, we should hallow His name. Isn't that the model that Jesus gave us in the model prayer? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There is a reverence that He deserves that nobody else deserves. He's higher than all else. He's the one who's worthy of all of our reverence, all of our obedience, all of our love and affection. And when we're approaching Him in prayer like that, and when we're living like that, reverencing Him above all else, then we can love others better. Then we can do a better job for our families. Then we can do a better job with our friends and reaching out to others. But we need to be plugged into that power source, and we need to approach Him in the right way. Remember Isaiah 66? Let me read it because I might not get it right. Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Now we ought to be, if we're talking about prayer, we ought to be interested in knowing who God's going to listen to when we offer up our prayers. He says, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor. He's talking about the poor in spirit, right? The poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. All right? Even to him that is poor and of a contrite heart. One who feels his own sin and shortcomings. One who feels the brokenness of our condition before a holy and righteous and almighty God. One that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. There is a high reverence for the word of God. If that's what the word of God says, that's how I must live my life. And if I don't live my life that way, then I need to come to God and ask him for forgiveness. I need to ask him to help me to do better. So his word is to be reverenced. So we approach him. Hallowed be thy name. And when we approach him in that way, then Romans chapter 8, when he says, likewise the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Romans 8:26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Have you ever been there? Not exactly sure what you should pray for? I've been there plenty of times. You'll be there some more times. But this verse of scripture helps us, doesn't it? This word that reminds us and teaches us, there are times if we don't have the word to express, the Spirit can help us. If we're approaching him in the right way, if we're coming to God with that reverence, understanding that he's God, I'm not. He's the one that's holy. I'm the one who needs him. When we approach him humbly, and with that brokenness in our heart for our own shortcomings, when we approach him as we should, his Spirit helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Then he goes into that, the Word of God being quick and powerful. Oh, as we think about approaching God in prayer, we need to approach God on his terms, in the right way, humbly, poor, and contrite in our own selves. You know, the big problem at the church at Laodicea over in Revelation chapter 3 was that they felt like they were rich and increased with goods and had need of nothing. Do you think their prayers were heard as they should have been with the Lord when they had such a heart as that? No. He said, and knowest not that thou art poor and wretched and miserable and blind. That was their true condition. If they could have seen their true condition, and if they prayed to God understanding that true condition, he would have heard them in a better way. We need the Spirit to help our infirmities, and we got plenty of them. I do. I suspect you do too. Okay? So as we think about how we approach him, and how that the Spirit will help us. All right. Several ways that we pray. First of all, as we've already somewhat covered, hallowed. When we approach in that way, then that part of our praying acknowledges who God is and what he's done for us. And recognizing that he's the one that can do it and no one else. Hallowed is his name. You know, that's the only time that word's used in the New Testament. Addressing the Father. Hallowed be thy name. When we approach him in that right way, praise comes easy. Thanksgiving comes easy when we acknowledge him for who he is and all of the glory of what he has done for us, what he is doing for us every day, and what he will yet do for us till he comes again, and what we'll have in glory. I tell you, praise will come easy when our mind and our heart is set in the right place, thinking about who he is and what he has done for us. And so hallowing his name and praising his name and giving thanks, I just kind of lumped all that together. Some people might separate it, but that's okay if you want to do that. But bless your hearts, that's part of praying. Now, I know that we praise him in other ways than simply praise, but it's also worship. I think prayer is worship. And worship is, a lot of worship is praise and thanksgiving, and that's good. And we need to be majoring in praise and thanksgiving. The world's not going to do that. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of people in this world that would be real happy if Christians would just quit doing all that stuff. Because it's standing in their way of their agenda. And you're starting to see more and more of that. All right? And so it's more and more important and incumbent upon us who have his spirit, who have been blessed with his spiritual life, who have been blessed with understanding of who he is, it's more important for us to be praising and thanking him and following him as best we can with what we're facing, putting on that whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand and having done all to stand. Prayer is a very important activity to help us to do that. Praying, okay, so hallowing his name, giving praise and thanksgiving for all that he is, you know, just bringing those things to remembrance rejoices the heart. If you've got the Spirit in you, then when you bring those things to remembrance, it rejoices your heart. It rejoices your spirit to know what he's done for us, how that we're eternally secure in him and that nothing can separate us from him. I tell you, that encourages me. And I've found a lot of encouragement of that in these recent days. Just thinking about how secure we are in the Lord, no matter what we have ahead of us. All right? Sometimes we're praying for the things that we all need. Some use the word corporate prayers. Things that we all have in common. You know, I hope we're praying for our nation. The things that we're facing in this nation for the first time in my lifetime, it seems like, and probably yours too. It's not just our nation. It's the whole world. This is worldwide. We need to be praying to God. There's a lot of reasons as far as this nation is concerned and the world at home. There's a lot of reasons because of the laws that have been passed, because of the things that have been endorsed in this country in recent generations. There's a lot of reason for God not to hear our prayers, right? But his mercy endureth forever. His love far surpasses our love. Bless your hearts, God is so long-suffering. And so if we feel the need, then bless your hearts, the door is still open for us to be praying and asking him for his help and blessings. And he can watch over us. He can provide for us. He can take care of us no matter what the situation is. He can shield us from virus. That doesn't mean that it's always going to happen. You know, bad things do happen to good people. We have to live with that because we're in a fallen world. Bless your hearts. The closer we are to him, the more help we'll have in whatever we have to face in the days ahead. So there's things that all of us need and we share in common. I hope we're praying for our church. I hope we're praying for our witness in this community. I hope we're praying for the preaching of the gospel. I hope we're praying for so many things that we all have in common that would benefit us not only in common, but would also help us to let our light shine more. The light that shines the farthest shines the brightest at home. If we are attentive to humbling ourselves before God and praying and seeking His face and turning from our wicked ways, you recognize that list? 2 Chronicles 7:14. It was true a long time ago. It's still true tonight or today. It's still true today, and it'll be true tonight and tomorrow and the next day. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I forgive their sin. Then will I heal their land. And our land needs healing. We need the Lord. Are we calling upon Him more fervently than we have in the past? I tell you, we need it. I wonder, just like we said, I haven't said it lately, but just like, you know, this may be a test. This may be, you know, I'm not saying the Lord brought it upon us, but He has allowed it to come upon us. And how we need to be praying, Lord, help us. We need You. I'm not looking to a vaccine. I'm not looking to technology. I'm not looking to science. I'm looking to God. He's the one that can help. And He can bless those people in those areas to come up with something. He can bless whatever is pleased to Him. But rather than being so specific about asking the Lord what to do, just ask for His help. He knows what we need. And it might be that He's just waiting for a certain time and a certain condition before He provides what we need. But rest assured, He knows, and He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. All right? So, there's some needs that we pray for that everybody shares. Sometimes we need to be watchful. He talks about watching with all perseverance. Watchful. You know, as parents, we need to be watchful of our children and things that perhaps might be affecting them or directions they might be going or whatever the case might be. For our church, we need to be watchful. Pastors need to be watchful. It helps for church members to be watchful too. There's plenty of things we need to watch out for because Satan is always on the prowl. You know, he's got that cloning thing down. I don't know that he has to be cloned, but he can be in a lot of places. His effect can be in a lot of places at one time. And while Peter tells us that our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, but the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And Satan is no match for the Lord. He can help us. He can keep us. He can bless us, whatever we need. We need to be watchful because not only are we able to see things and we ask him for his help against those things, he sees what we cannot. Now, isn't that a blessing? You know, our law enforcement, when they're able to do what they need to do, then they can do a good job in protecting us from a lot of the seen dangers. But God can protect us against the unseen. He knows. He knows what we need. He knows what we'll need next week. Oftentimes, when we feel like that we've been particularly blessed, we can look back and see the Lord's been working on that for a while. How, what a blessing that is, that he knows that he knows the seen and the unseen. There's things we know, there's things we don't know, and he can take care of that too. What a blessing to be watchful and to persevere. Hold out, you know, faithful, be strong in the faith. Sometimes we need to be prayerful for things that we need to watch out for. Sometimes our prayers in the form of supplication, that we're lifting up our requests, sometimes for specific things, sometimes for general things. But we do ask, we lift up our prayers unto Him. Sometimes in our prayers we lift up our cares. Didn't Peter say, casting all your care upon him? Why? For he careth for you. Talk about stress relief. That's good medicine. Asking the Lord to help us. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. He's been caring for you for a long time. And he's going to keep caring for you. Not only until Jesus comes again, but bless your hearts, in heaven's pure world, we'll have everything we need forever. Isn't that amazing? That's something to praise about, isn't it? All right, so sometimes we're asking, we're lifting up our requests, we're making our requests known unto God. Now, he already knows it, but the exercise is good for us, because it helps us to see things more clearly. The Spirit helps us to form our view of what we need to be looking at and how we need to be looking at it. So those requests, those supplications, sometimes praying is in the form of intercession. You know, maybe we see something in our children or our family or our friends or a co-worker or someone in the community or something, and we intercede to the Lord for them, asking for his help and his blessing. I hope that's a good part of your praying, that we need to be praying for others. You know, we do have our needs, and it's okay for us to ask the Lord for the things that we stand in need of, but it's also good for us to have our mind and our heart on the welfare of others. Pray for others. Let that be a good part of your praying. There's times when I go through my prayers and I don't even ask for anything for myself. I spend the time asking for others. Pastors do that a lot, you know, just going through the list of everybody at church and their families and all the other acquaintances and things we've known in the past. And there's plenty that we lift up to God, knowing that he already knows, but it's just good for to set our heart upon the needs, the welfare of others. There's something very useful and therapeutic about putting our mind and our affection on others instead of just ourselves. It's very helpful. I remember my first cousin was also a Primitive Baptist minister. He's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I asked him one time about, you know, there was a lot of talk in the news about our economy crashing, and I asked him, I said, you know, do you think if it did happen, would that bring us together as a nation? Because I was thinking that, you know, well, if it did crash, this was 20 years ago probably, but if it did, then maybe, like during the Depression, you know, maybe folks would come closer together and be helping one another and all that. And I'm sure some of that would happen. But he said, you know, I don't think so. He said, but now during the World War, when everybody was fighting a common enemy, they joined together like no other time. And he said, even historians have proven that the mental institutions had fewer people in them during that time because everybody's mind and focus was against fighting the enemy. And there was a lot of people joining together in their efforts and helping one another and working together against that enemy. Well, you know what? We still got an enemy. We've still got an enemy who's just wreaking havoc among our families and our homes and our churches and our cities. There's so much effect of this enemy, our adversary, the devil. We need to be realizing that we're in this. This is a good way to talk about it. In this together. And we do have a common enemy. And we need to be taking our stand together with each other, looking to the Lord for his help, being strong in the Lord, the power of his might, and praying together against this enemy that we all face. I'm not talking about a virus. No. I'm talking about our adversary, the devil. I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about sinfulness and sinful attitudes and all those kinds of things. We have a battle to fight. We have a common enemy. Let's be praying together. Let's be praying that the Lord would help us in these things, because we do have a spiritual warfare before us. And that spiritual warfare is made up of temptations. The battle rages in our mind and in our hearts. We also have outside influences. I mean, there's just a number of ways that we can think about this. And we need to remember. We need our armor. We need to be praying. We need to be plugged into the power source. We need that oxygen for our soul so that we can stand, and having done all, to stand. There's so much, you know, I don't remember exactly what the comment was about. Well, yeah, I do. When Brother Kenneth was talking about how this world is crazy. And, you know, one of the things that bothers me so much about all that's going on right now is there's so much unrestraint. And there's so much lawlessness. That's what bothers me a lot. It's just like these things are happening and we don't have any help like we used to have. So all the more reason that we call upon our God to watch over us and keep us, protect us, provide for us, for he's the one who knows exactly what we need. And in the Lord, and in the power of his might, we're in better hands than Allstate. We got a greater neighbor than State Farm. Those things can help us some, but the Lord can help us in anything. He can provide for us. And so, in prayer, in good praying, in praying in the Spirit, and in realizing that we need to remember so many things about how we go about praying, not just for our own needs, but for the needs of others, and to be watchful and to be mindful of the fact that there's so many things that affect all of us together, and how we need to be remembering that. Remember, it's a spiritual warfare. It's this kind of praying will strengthen our dependence upon our God. It'll keep us grounded in the sense of humility, in the sense of our need for the Lord. We need that. We need to be aware of our needs, and it'll keep us close in our walk with God. Be mindful, to be thankful, to be praising his holy name. It'll help us to fasten that armor tighter. It'll help us to be set for the defense of the gospel. I'm going to call this the armor of prayer, to go along with all the other armor that he mentions for us. We need it. I need it. I need that power source, don't you? I get weak when I don't have that power source. My soul gets to suffocating when I don't have that oxygen that it needs. I tell you, there's just so much in that. And I'm sure I've just scratched the surface, but there's so much in understanding we need the armor, and we need to have a prayerful attitude all the way through. The armor of prayer. May God bless you, is our prayer.